Everybody, Parshas Toldos, Tavshin Beis. This is a tremendous yisod that I'd like to speak about in this week's Parsha, and that is setting up an accurate value system and also living by an accurate value system. It comes from the question that many ask, how could it be that Esav gave up his birthright, his firstborn rights, for a measly bowl of soup and some bread? And the Pasuk tells us, first of all, he says, I'm going to die anyway. What do I need the firstborn rights anyway? And Rashi says that he's talking about the different halachas that apply to somebody who has to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And the general idea is that ruchnius and being the firstborn is not significant to him. And two psukim later says, Vayivis Esav is habichora. Esav belittled, Esav despised the firstborn rights. So therefore, he didn't really value it, so it wasn't a big deal to him. So of course, a bowl of soup and some bread certainly is more appealing to him than the birthright. But at the end of the parasha, when Esav realizes that Yaakov Avinu has chapped the brachos, so what happens? Kishmo Esav is divrei aviv v'yitzak tzaako gedol umora. He lets out a tremendous cry, a bitter cry, ad ma'oyid. Please give me a bracha also. He sees he's going crazy over the fact that he lost that out of the bracha. And what does he say? Two psukim later. He says, but Yaakov, he swindled me. He outwitted me twice. Because b'churasi lokach, and he took the b'churasi. So obviously he's equating the bracha and the birthright, the firstborn rights. Because he says he got me twice, b'churasi and b'churasi. And he let out a tremendous moan over it. So you see that he had a certain value system. He did value the birthright. But yet before he was v'yibes Esav as a b'chora. So that's question number one. We see a similar idea. I saw this quoted in the name of the stipler. Similar idea. But Chava, what happens? Chava eats from the Eitz Hadas. And what does she do afterwards? She goes ahead and she brings it to her husband, to Adam, to eat. Says Rashi, why did she do that? So that she shouldn't die, he'll stay alive and marry somebody else. Hold on a second. If she knew that eating the Eitz HaDas was going to make her die, then why did she eat it? Right before what happened, the Nachash sort of convinced her that she's not going to die, right? Nachash says, "Yemar Nachash Elisha, lo mos tamusun." Earlier, the Nachash told her, "Don't worry, you're not going to die." Of course, that was because from touching, not from eating. But in her mind, she thought, she wasn't going to die. And then after she eats, all of a sudden, boom, she's like, oh, I'm going to die. I got to give from the Eitz HaDas to Adam. How could it be? What changed? So the obvious and very poshut answer in both of these cases is that when you're in the moment, it's hard to think clearly. Chava, of course, had a desire for this Eitz HaDas. It's very appealing. Ma'im genuvim mitaku, the pasuk tells us, right? Stolen waters are sweeter. She knew she wasn't allowed to eat it. All of a sudden, boom, she had a tremendous taiva for this Eitz HaDas. Same thing with Esav. Esav be'etzem had a value to the Bechorah. We see that. He had an objective value to the Bechorah. But at that moment, he was starving. He was tired. He had a long day of hunting. He couldn't think straight. It was the here and now of indulging in the soup, in the food, was too overwhelming for him to go ahead and to resist that taiva and that desire for the lechem and the zirah doshim. So that's one mahalach. One mahalach is that during the moment, it's very hard to think clearly, and that's why you get drawn into your taivas. So the question is that how does somebody protect himself from not falling to such things? What, every time a person has a taiva for something, you should just give away everything, right? Esav had a taiva for a bowl of soup, he's starving, right? If you're starving, you just go ahead and just give away, you know, ruchnius forever. The firstborn rights, Chava, she had a taiva for the Eitz HaDas, which we can't necessarily understand what the taiva was, and all of a sudden she brought death to the world, like. How? What can you do on our level to make sure we don't have this situation where all of a sudden we have a physical taiva for something and our value system goes out the window? So I think it's important to read this paragraph in Chelkei Zehiris Mesilas Yesharim. that what does it mean, first of all, to set up a value system, and second of all, to live by a value system? Listen to this. Somebody who has to guard himself, watch himself. Mefakech is somebody who supervises. You need to have two approaches, two outlooks. You've got to know clearly what's good, what's right, what's bad, and what's evil, what you have to stay away from. You have to analyze your deeds. Are your deeds good or are they bad? This is when you're doing something, you're about to do something, you're in the middle of doing something. Ask yourself, is this the right thing to be doing? And also, in addition, not when you're doing it. When you're not involved, okay, am I choosing? And let's say we'll say a mashal soon about waking up on time for Shachas or sleeping a little bit more. Not only during the Shachas Maisa, should I wake up right this second or should I not? Should I sleep another 5 minutes? Right? Not only b'sha'as ma'isa should you say, okay, what's more valuable, but shalom b'sha'as ma'isa. He continues. B'sha'as ma'isa shalom yasashu ma'isa mibli sheyishkol oso b'moz nezos ha'idia. A person should never do an action without weighing it on a scale with this knowledge of what is good and what is bad, right? You know, let's just use a simple example. What's better, sleeping another 10 minutes or coming on time to Shacharis? Everybody in their right mind would know that going on time to Shacharis is more valuable than the right thing to do than sleeping for another 5-10 minutes and coming 5 or 10 minutes late. So everybody would know that if you had an opportunity that you really don't need to go outside for a coffee break and you could learn for another 5 minutes and then take a coffee break or whatever, or shears at 12:45 and you can leave at 12:35 and schmooze, or you can stay and learn for another 10 minutes. Everybody knows, in terms of the objective truth, that learning more is more valuable. Getting up, getting to Shachas on time, is certainly more valuable. That's also V'shas Maisa. A person should see and remember all his deeds. Also plug them into this scale. Liros ma yesh bum mehara l'man yitchoso. What's bad that we should push away? Ma minatov lahasmid bo ulushazak bo. What's good that I should continue to do often and to strengthen myself in this area? If you find something bad in your deeds, as yis bonin v'yachkor b'sichlo, think about it and investigate with your mind. Eza tachbul yasel usuminara. What strategies are you going to do to get rid of the bad? Hahu b'latari menu, and to purify oneself from it. It seems as though in this paragraph, in the Perek Gimel, Chelek Zehirus, life seems very simple. All you got to do is define for yourself what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, and then analyze your deeds. Do your deeds fit in with those with that value system? In addition, not only when you're doing the actions, but even before you stop walking the street, you stop thinking about it, developing a proper value system. And I think this is the answer to this question about Esav, and of course about Chava. Of course, when there's going to be taivas, of course, Kodesh Baruch says, Baratzi Yitzhara, Kodesh Baruch created the Yitzhara, right? Baratzi Torah Tavlin, right? He created the Torah as an antidote, which is essentially the value system that we have to integrate and incorporate and internalize into ourselves. But the reality is, Kodesh Baruch, also, there's no surprises. So if it's Tzadik, the Rosh Mavakish Hamiso, Kodesh Baruch told us that he created the Yitzhara to what? To seek us out. Sefer Rosh Hashanah Max Hamiso. He's trying to get us at all times. He's trying to get us. There's no secrets over here. The Yetzirah is going to try to get you to stay in bed and not come to Shacharis. The Yetzirah is going to on time or at all sometimes, right? The Yetzirah is going to try to tell you, don't learn an extra 5 minutes. You don't understand it anyway. It's not going well. You don't have your chavrusa. Your chavrusa is not here anyway. Your Yetzirah has a million and one reasons for you to not learn and to not do the right things. So how do you combat that? Well, of course, the Gemara Kedushin, as we just mentioned, Barasi Torah Tavlin, learn more Torah. But what happens when you have a desire for a lentil soup? What happens if you have a desire to gobble up some food without a bracha or a mumble of bracha? There's so many different, obviously, ways of serving Hashem. Bein alon lalakom, bein alon lachavero. But how do you go ahead and make all the right moves? So the answer is, there's no shortcuts. A person has to totally develop a clear value system and live by it. And once you do that, it's pretty easy. Right? If I would tell anybody, you know, I'll tell you another mashal that comes to mind in this area. I read this story many years ago in one of Roy Krohn's books. He said there was a magid that he was amazing. A magid in those days meant that he would go from town to town and give a tremendous drusha and like captivate the audience and like put them in a certain frame of mind that they were like living through his story and they're like feeling it and he would awaken them and inspire them. And this Magen came and this is what he said. He said, everybody here, imagine that you've left this world at 120. And your mom is, you're in the grave. Your mom's in the grave. And you're in the Shemayim. And all of a sudden, in your cemetery, or your area, in your town, there's a huge bas kol that comes out and says, everybody who's like in the cemetery, anybody who's left this world, you can come back to this world for an hour. And you could improve your situation in Olam Haba. What would you all do? And of course, the people in the audience were thinking, okay, this one would learn for the hour, this one would daven for the hour, this one would do chesed for an hour. And then he says, who knows how much more time they have? Meaning, he just, if a person would really, put, again, that's a very heavy perspective. Certainly very heavy perspective to have. But the reality is that why isn't that true? If a person has an hour right now, now, again, and he could either waste time doing umpteen things that are a waste of time, or he can sit and learn, or he can go and do chesed, or he can go and daven, you say tehillim. So anybody here, if you said you had an hour to improve your situation in the next world, so of course you take that 1 hour and you dedicate it to Avodas Hashem. There's no question about it. Okay? 2 hours and 3 hours. So a person has to be, again, a person has to, you know, be normal, whatever that means, right? And has to have outlets, you know. But again, within reason, a person has to do exercise. I mean, I was last Shabbos had discussed this, spending Shabbos with the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, with David Cohen Shlita, who's one of the Gedolah, he's on the what's Gedolah Torah, certainly one of the undisputed Gedolah of the generation. And he was talking about outlets and healthy outlets. And he spoke about the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav used to take a daily walk. And Rosh Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva, went to visit him on Yom Kippur at night. And he said, okay, let's take a walk. He said, what? A walk on Yom Kippur night? He's like, what do you mean? If it's the right thing to do every night of the year, why is Yom Kippur any different? Like, is this the right thing to do, to take a walk? Again, obviously, they spoke in learning. I mean, they didn't just, like, stop, you know, take a walk and party. That's not obviously. But the idea that there is what to be said about a healthy outlet. And everything in good measure. But the point is that a person has to have a proper value system. Now, again, it's not that easy, right? But if a person would think a little bit like that, saying, what is... And also, obviously, Esav, a lot of what Esav was thinking, it was Olam Hazeh. He's thinking, oh, the bowl of soup, that's the here and now. The Bechor, the firstborn rights, that's for the next world. Again, so a person has to be certainly more attuned and more aligned with what's the end goal over here. Is everything about this world? Is everything about the next world? And certainly, Olam Hazeh, don't the pros, don't Olam Haba. This world is but a corridor for the next world, which is the Ulam, which is the real hall, which is the real big dance. But I think that this is the reality. A person knows what's right. A person knows what's valuable. The problem is, and this is really what Zeharis is about, the problem is we get confused, we get lost. It's like we're going around in the dark, and we don't necessarily... And when it comes to Shas Maisa, we're not... Our value system is not strong enough to let us overcome those challenges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends our way. And of course, the Yitzhar is there not to make us crazy. It's there to build, to make us stronger and stronger and stronger. Just, I mean, I wasn't sure if I should say this on recording or not, but I'll give you a dugma. I mean, I feel like, you know, if this has a hashpa, you know, it's a little bit strong, but I think it's kedai to say it over, because why not? Because this is the reality, and this is the real value system. Again, this may not be lentil soup versus the Bukhara, but in a certain sense, it's reality. There was a student in this yeshiva last year who told me who was doing beautifully. And he said it's very hard for him, you know, not to watch sports. You know, it's a good outlet for him and this and that. And it's hard for him. Again, he came to me. I didn't tell him he has to. So I said, yeah, you know, try, do your best, whatever, this and that. And I saw the same boy this year, actually last Wednesday. I saw this particular boy. And he has no connection to watching sports anymore. And guess what? He's happy and he's normal and he's not missing out on life. Who could believe it? And he learns many, many hours a day. And if you want, you could probably figure out who it is. But the point is that here he is. He understood that the value, like, he has, let's say, a half hour in his day. So he could watch highlights, or he can watch a video, or you watch a ball game, or whatever it is. Or he can go and take that half hour and do what the Bryce tells us, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and enhance his, and you know, upgrade his scorecard for the next world. I'm not saying, you know, everybody has to be on that level, but on the other hand, that's reality. That's the reality. I'm not saying you have to remove all outlets. Again, I would promote, you know, playing sports as an outlet, because then you actually, you know, your body, it's healthy for your body. And if your body's healthy, then you can learn better. Again, obviously, we grew up in a certain culture that we have a certain, you know, you know, perhaps following sports is in our blood, but then there's, you know, there's following sports and there's following sports. It's like watching multiple, you know, tens of minutes or, you know, hours. We hope not. Certainly not when you're in yeshiva. I don't think ever. This is back to Brian and Jeff Shmuz. But like, everything's relative. I mean, like, first, again, I don't want to get into, I don't want to lose sight of the main point. Because, you know, the athletes couldn't care less about us. Like, why do we care about them? And like, what does it make it really a difference in our actual life? Again, this is obviously this is a high madrigas. You know, we can focus on just let's focus on, you know, learning the whole Seder and learning full Siddurim and coming to davening on time and so on. This is obviously, but I still feel like on the other hand, it should be mentioned. And what I was trying to prove by this boy is that here he was, like last year, he thought like he could never detach himself. He grew up as a big sports fan. And he's from one state, but he explained to me he follows a different state's football team. But Lamaisa, but the point is that he thought that like he would turn into a pumpkin and he would turn into a guy who can't function. And Baruch Hashem, he was able to function. That's the point of this story. That's the point of that side anecdote. But the point is that a person has to, like Esav, we look at Esav like a fool. You gave up the birthright, which you yourself know is valuable, for a measly bowl of soup and some bread. What's going on over here? The answer is, as much as he objectively knew what was valuable, he wasn't able to live by it. Why? Because he didn't think about it often enough. The only way to overcome the Yetzirah in these types of areas, when a person has a physical attraction, physical pull in these areas, is to totally drill into yourself, this is what's valuable. Getting up right now for chakras, that's what's more, 1,000% more valuable, but it has to be so real that you look at the ability or the desire to sleep for another 5 or 10 minutes, and you say, who wants to sleep for another 5, 10 minutes? Well, I can go talk to Hashem on time like a mensch. Who could sleep for another 5, 10 minutes? It's so pashut to me that this is more valuable. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the siyata d'shmaya to really acquire these ideas as the heroes, to really live by the value system that we all know is the right value system. Have a great Shabbos.